This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Famous atheist Richard Dawkins says that he wants Britain to remain a Christian country. Also, U.S. soccer star Corbin Albert is apologizing for sharing a testimony of a young man who says that he was freed by God from the deception of transgenderism. And lastly, dinosaurs apparently might have been gay. All of this and more on this episode of Relatable. It's brought to you by our friends at Good Ranchers. Go to goodranchers.com. Use code Allie at checkout. That's goodranchers.com. Code Allie. Hey guys, welcome to Relatable. Happy Wednesday. Hope everyone is having a wonderful week so far. All right, let's get right into it. I've been wanting to talk about this Corbin Albert story for a few days now. It's a really unfortunate story on a lot of different sides. It's a lesson for all of us Christians, what courage looks like, what it doesn't look like, the various pressures that will be against us to compromise and to fold. Yesterday, we talked about the announcement and proclamation of the so-called Trans Day of Visibility, where we had President Biden, as well as the entirety of his administration, as well as several progressive leaders making announcements of celebrations of this day that celebrates evil and wickedness and barbarism and brutality against the Imago Dei, against the body that celebrates a lie that you can become the opposite sex. It is going to be more and more difficult as Christians, not just to say controversial statements like John 14:6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but very obvious statements like a man is a man, a woman is a woman, that is biologically true and that cannot be changed by way of feeling or declaration. So it's really not John 14:6 that is only controversial, but it is also Genesis 1:27, Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth. All of these are going to be deemed forms of unacceptable bigotry. And if we can stand on this very controversial truth that Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, then we have to also be able to stand on very obvious, observable, biological, and biblical truths that only male and female exist, and that these are not replaceable, they're not interchangeable, they're not fluid, this is not on a spectrum. And so here's an example of this playing out in real life. Corbin Albert is a 20-year-old professional soccer player and current member of the U.S. women's national team. She received significant backlash after she shared a repost on TikTok. So I'm not on TikTok. So for the rest of you 30-year-old olds out there, that it's like similar to retweeting. So she didn't add any commentary of her own. She just reposted it. And it was a teen's testimony about struggling with drugs and sexual sin, including transgenderism, and then finding freedom and peace through Christ. So here is the testimony that this soccer player shared on her TikTok, SOT 3.
I knew I needed to get help, so I went to counseling, but never revealed the shame I was battling with feeling transgender. A few months later, I started taking hormones. However, in the midst of this time, God led me to ACC through a new friend. I was introduced to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit started consuming me, and I actually felt his tangible presence. I even felt God tell me to stop taking the hormones. I threw them away and have not been on them since. God truly saved me in so many ways.
Ugh, sweet boy, that just, I mean, it breaks my heart, just what Satan does and how he tempts us and deceives us. And I also just want to, aside from this story that we're about to unravel with this soccer player who shared this video, I just want to praise God for that young man's testimony. There are different arguments and debates and theological discussions that we can have. Of course, apologetics, all of that is really important, but you can't argue with someone's testimony. And so praise God, we've had many people sit on this couch with a similar testimony that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, freed them from that sin, from that addiction, from that deception and confusion. So he also talked in his testimony about his battle with alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, same-sex attraction, and then, of course, feeling that he identified better as the opposite sex. And he says, it's because of God that I'm alive today. And so praise God for that. I totally understand why Corbin Albert, who I had never heard of her before, but who professes Christianity, why she reshared that on her TikTok. So because the video acknowledged same-sex attraction and so-called transgender feelings as sin, LGBTQ activists like Megan Rapinoe, you remember her. She is like the completely insufferable progressive activist. They were quick to call out Albert's post as hate. So I guess Megan Rapinoe saw it and then she posted this to her story. She said, for people who want to hide behind quote unquote my beliefs, I would just ask one question. Are you making any type of space safer, more inclusive, more whole, any semblance of better, bringing the best out of anyone? Because if you aren't, all you believe in is hate, and kids are literally killing themselves because of this hate. Wake, comma, TF up. Yours truly, number 15. Now, it's interesting, actually, because now Albert wears the number 15, now that Megan Rapinoe has retired. And then other senior players within the U.S. women's national team shared Rapinoe's post. The team captain, Becky Sauerbrunn, shared it with the caption saying, well said. Well, of course, she is being inclusive of this young man who had a very real and emotional testimony talking about his own personal experiences and how the Holy Spirit liberated him. That is loving. That is celebrating something that is good. And no one is killing themselves because of that. Unfortunately, young people who think that they're the opposite sex have many other diagnoses that pre-existed their deception and confusion about their gender. We know that to be true. They are far more likely to be suicidal, even if they have accepting friends, accepting community, accepting schools, accepting families. We've seen this in studies of Sweden, which as a society is extremely accepting of being identifying as the opposite sex. They are far more likely to be suicidal than the rest of the population, because I can imagine it's very frustrating to realize no matter how hard you try, no matter how many hormones you go on, you never actually will be able to accomplish your goal of actually being the opposite gender. And so they're just trying to empathy shame you, empathy bully you, to morally extort you, to coerce you into accepting their completely absurd 2+2=5 position, to make you feel that saying something that is true and right and good is killing people. That is wrong. And even if it were true that correlation and causation exists, which it's not true, that doesn't change the biological reality of the gender binary. Therefore, it is worth affirming. Unfortunately, Corbin fell, or Albert rather, fell into the pressure, or was swayed by the pressure that she felt, and she did issue an apology. So I'll get to that in just one second. Let me tell you about our first sponsor for the day, that's 7 Weeks Coffee. This is a pro-life coffee company that provides top-notch, excellent coffee. They donate 10% of every sale of their coffee to pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations across the country. A significant portion of their profits, they have already donated over $325,000 to these pro-life organizations. They have provided over 3,200 medical ultrasounds, which is amazing. We know that those ultrasounds have the power to change minds and therefore to save lives. I encourage you to join their Heartbeat Club right now. You can save 15% on every order when you subscribe. You'll get your high quality coffee shipped to your front door every month. You'll save money. makes your life easier, and also part of your money is going to support these life-saving pro-life organizations and pregnancy centers. Go to 7weekscoffee.com, use code Allie for 10% off your order. 7weekscoffee.com, code Allie. All right, so I don't know what other influences she has in her life. I don't know if it was just Megan Rapinoe's message, which she confirmed, by the way, to an outlet that she was talking about Albert. It was kind of cryptic and vague, but of course she was referencing Albert's original post. And so I don't know if it was just that. I don't know if it was because the captain of the team reshared it, but she obviously felt a lot of pressure to apologize for what she had shared on TikTok. And so here's what she said. She said, "I want to sincerely apologize for my actions on social media." Ugh, it just breaks my heart that she would apologize for that. "Liking and sharing posts that are offensive, insensitive, and hurtful was immature and disrespectful, which was never my intent, girl. I'm not here to judge you, because we've all been in a position where we wish we hadn't compromised and we had been more courageous. I've certainly been there before, but it just hurts me to read these words. So immature and disrespectful, which was never my intent. I'm really disappointed in myself, and I'm deeply sorry for the hurt that I have caused to my teammates, other players, fans, and friends, and anyone who is offended. I truly believe that everyone should feel safe and respected everywhere and on all playing fields. I know my actions have not lived up to that, and for that, I sincerely apologize. It's an honor and a privilege to get to play this sport on the world stage, and I promise to do better." Oh my gosh. So she must have gone through a very intense struggle session, because that was an extreme apology. That wasn't just, you know, "I shouldn't post my personal beliefs on social media," which I think would have been silly to say too. But she could have kept it a lot shorter. She could have simplified it a lot. But I mean, she said that she's disappointed in herself, that it was immature, that it was insensitive, that it was disrespectful, that she promises to do better. I mean, we heard that language a million times in the summer of 2020. And so she obviously had someone or a group of people say, "You harmed this group. You could have pushed someone to suicide," which is absolutely ridiculous, "and you need to apologize." She might have had someone write this apology for her. I'm sure she had someone edit this apology and check this apology to make sure that it was contrite enough. And it's just so sad to see. Again, I'm not trying to sit in a place of condemnation or judgment, but I can say, just like looking at the objective standard of God's word, that this was the wrong thing to do. I'm not afraid to say that. This was the wrong thing to do. This was the sinful action to take. Just to be perfectly clear about that, this was sin to apologize for this. If the word of God says something, it is good enough for us to repeat. We were never guaranteed that repeating God's word and sharing the truth wouldn't come with consequences. Actually, we were told that in this world, we will have trouble. But take heart. Jesus has already overcome the world. So the comfort that we have is not that we won't deal with repercussions, not that we won't be excluded, not that people won't try to chastise us or condemn us or push us out in some way. The comfort that we have is that Jesus has already overcome the world. That is where our boldness comes from. We are supposed to count the cost before we follow Christ. If we are ready to take up our cross and to follow him, we have to really understand what that sacrifice looks like. And really, one of the smallest forms of sacrifice is losing the approval of activists, the approval of the world. And yes, it might mean even being kicked off a soccer team. It might mean losing livelihood. It might mean really, really big consequences and unfortunate outcomes. It might mean losing absolutely everything and everyone in your life. Jesus came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. The Word of God divides. The gospel divides. The truth about who God made us to be in His image, and that His gospel liberates us from the lies of the world, liberates us from the shackles of sin. That is a controversial and radical and divisive message. It is. It always will be. And it is worth standing on. Look, you just shared someone's testimony. You shared their quote-unquote lived experience, which we are told is always valid and has some kind of moral authority and can't be questioned at all. But because this person's lived experience has to do with the gospel and has to do with dying to the old self, of course, that is going to be offensive to a world that is dying. It's going to be offensive to people like Megan Rapinoe, who is, according to Ephesians 2, she's dead in her sin. She is under the authority of the prince of the power of the air. And so, of course, she's going to be angry about it. Let her be mad. Be mad. That is part of what we are called to as Christians, not to purposely make people mad, but to withstand people's offense and anger as we are standing for the gospel. That doesn't mean you have to be purposely abrasive or purposely insensitive, but you shared someone's powerful testimony and now you are kowtowing to the mob, and that is sinful and that is wrong. Now, there is grace for you, absolutely, because all of us have it at some point been cowardly, 100%. We have all been cowardly, and so there is grace for you. And you can repent, and you can actually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do better in accordance to God's standards. You can. But this will require a change of heart, a change of mind, and it will require a lot of courage. And here's the cool thing, is that courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. When you stand up and say, I'm not apologizing for God's word, I'm not going to try to let God off the hook, I'm not going to try to soften or cover up what He says is true. When you stand up for that, there are other Christians who will see that courage and then will find the bravery in their own lives to stand up for what God says is good and right and true. And something that we talk about on this podcast a lot is the importance of sharing arrows. When someone stands up and says something that gets a lot of backlash, if it is in accordance to God's word true, or if it is factually true, but it just happens to be controversial, inconvenient, uncomfortable, rather than us looking at that person and saying, whoo, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not getting that backlash. I'm glad I'm not dealing with that bullying. Instead, the right thing for us to do is to say, you know what? She said that and I believe it too. If you're going to launch arrows at her, you're going to have to launch them my way too. And it's really powerful when that becomes a contagion, when we all stand up as Christians and say, you know what? I will share the arrows with her. That gives courage to the person who originally stood up. That gives courage to everyone who is watching that contagion happen. That gives courage to all of us. Courage is contagious. And when we stand up, when we share the arrows with someone like this, who is on the front lines of this particular battle, powerful things happen. That is such an incredible testimony. But when we buckle under the pressure, when we say, actually, I counted the cost and it's too expensive and too costly for me to follow Christ here, then the world sees cowardice and they're emboldened. People like Megan Rapinoe, they smell blood in the water. And so they realize, wow, all I have to do is flex my influence, say something passive aggressive and gossipy about someone that I don't like, and they're going to buckle. That just emboldens them to do that to the next vulnerable person who is brave enough to stand for their faith. So unfortunately, Corbin is not an example for us to follow in this case. Now, again, I hope that changes in the future. I really do feel for her, and I feel that she has to kind of be hoisted up as a public example of cowardice. But she's a grown woman, and she made the choice that she made, and she decided to kowtow and apologize, and that's unfortunate. But again, there is grace, and hopefully if she is confronted with this kind of test in the future, she will pass. Because look, God's authority and God's approval is so much more important than the world's approval. What does it profit us to gain the world but lose our soul? Nothing. And so I just pray for her and other people like her on the front lines. Look, I know from experience how difficult it can be to stand up for what the world calls hateful and divisive, but that God's word says is good. And I am not perfect at it by any means, but courage and clarity in these days is such a powerful example and testimony. That is actually what changes hearts and minds. And again, I just want to say, God bless that young man who, with shaking hands and a shaking voice, was willing to stand up and to share his testimony. May God embolden him. And here's the thing I just want to say. Also, that young man had more courage in standing up and sharing his own testimony than Corbin Albert had just to share his testimony. And so he is the example that we look to, not her. All right, let's move on to Richard Dawkins. And all of this really kind of ties together as we're talking about what Christianity should look like and how we can actually be salt and light, how we can shine in a dark world, how we can be like salt. So a preservative, adding flavor, making things better. That's what Christians are supposed to do through living out and sharing the gospel and manifesting it in so many different ways in our lives. So we'll get to that in just a second. Let me tell you about our next sponsor for the day, and that is Cozy Earth. Gosh, I love all of our Cozy Earth products. I love our sheets so much. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. 35% of adults report experiencing poor sleep quality, and having bedding that is soft, that is high quality, that is made from viscose, from bamboo, like Cozy Earth is, that is temperature regulating, can really be a game changer for your sleep. Unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave, they all come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if you sleep on it for 100 nights, you're like, this is just not for me, you can get your money back. Go to CozyEarth.com, use code RELATABLE for 35% off. That's a great deal. I love their product so much, you will not be sorry. Go to CozyEarth.com, use code RELATABLE for 35% off. CozyEarth.com, code RELATABLE. All right, Richard Dawkins is the famous atheist and the famous apologist for atheism. And he was just in a conversation with LBC, Leading Britain's Conversation. It's Britain's biggest commercial news talk brand, where he said that he doesn't want to lose cultural Christianity. He doesn't want to lose the influence that Christianity has on a culture, even though he rejects all beliefs of Christianity. So here is thought one.
We are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer, but there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian.
How entirely incoherent and incongruent such a brilliant person is. But that's not surprising, because atheism is in itself a very incongruent and an inconsistent, incoherent belief system, even just starting from the atheistic idea of the origin of the universe, which is that something came from nothing. It is actually much more feasible and logical to believe that there is something outside of our finite understanding of existence, something that is infinite, something that is beyond us, something that is transcendent, someone that is an intelligent designer that our finite minds cannot comprehend that is even existent outside of time and space. It's much more logical to believe that there is something that we can't comprehend than to say that we can comprehend everything, but we can't properly tell you how something came from nothing. Of course, he's written about this before, and I'm sure that he is a very formidable adversary when it comes to apologetics debates. In fact, I know he is because I've seen some of those debates, and he wrote a book called The God Delusion in 2006. It ended up becoming a bestseller, selling more than 3 million copies. As someone who has sold my fair share of books in my day, I only have one book, but I can tell you that 3 million copies is a lot. That's a lot of books, and he sold more than that by now. But here's a summary of his book, just so you can understand how incredible this statement is that he just gave before I actually respond to those comments. So he begins in The God Delusion, stating that the belief in God is not only irrational, but also dangerous, as it perpetuates dogma and hinders human progress. Now, isn't that interesting in light of what you just heard? He believes that the belief in God is not only irrational, but also dangerous, as it perpetuates dogma and hinders human progress. The book also delves into the harm caused by religious belief, ranging from perpetuating intolerance and divisiveness to impeding scientific progress. One of his quotes is, "I do everything in my power to warn people against faith itself, not just against so-called extremist faith. The teachings of moderate religion, though not extremists themselves, are an open invitation to extremism." And then, of course, he negates the fact, or he denies the fact, that atheism requires a whole lot of faith. Again, going all the way back to where we come from. That is a faith-filled statement that something came from nothing and that we have evolved over the span of millions and millions of years into this. And you also still have to have faith for the why behind things. Like, I guess from an atheistic perspective, if you kind of depart from this crazy idea that something, that all this came from nothing, you could try to explain the existence of the material world, but you can't explain the existence or the need for beauty. You can't explain why human beings all seem to share this innate drive to find belonging and purpose and transcendence and belief in their own lives. You can't define what love is. You can't define what these big concepts of purpose, like purpose, are. There's really no atheistic understanding for that which we cannot see but is real. They can't even be explained by the idea that everything was just passed down from our ancestors because it was useful, because there are many virtues like kindness, like love, like some form of tolerance that is virtuous that wouldn't be, if you look back throughout history, necessarily helpful for survival. And so where did these come from? Why are they here? And why do we seem to all kind of aspire to them or want to aspire to them? He has suggested, just to give you an idea of his moral compass, that children should not be brought up into a religion, that faith-based teaching in schools needs to be eliminated. It also shouldn't be surprising that he is very pro-abortion and has argued very adamantly that bringing a baby into the world who has Down syndrome, for example, is immoral. He has even counseled someone directly on Twitter, and we have the tweets from 2014, to abort a child with Down syndrome and then try again, because it would be wrong, unethical to bring that child into the world. So that's Richard Dawkins. Of course, there's much more about him that we could talk about. And here he is saying in this video, sure, I believe all of that. I'm an atheist through and through. I believe that Christianity is dangerous. I believe that Christian morality is irrational. That's basically what he's saying, especially in the abortion conversation. This idea that people are made in the image of God, that they have innate worth from the point of conception and therefore shouldn't be murdered or mistreated. He would, of course, say that that's dangerous in some way, deleterious to society, and just illogical. But here he's saying, oh, wait. I think I do still want these vestiges of Christianity to remain. I think I want the cathedrals. I think I want the general morality. I think I want the joy and the peace that comes with Christmas. And what he's really afraid of, as he's seen Britain change so dramatically, is the Islamification of Britain, the Islamification of Europe. And he's seen, okay, so we're not replacing Christianity with atheism or secularism the way that I think he would have said that he wanted 20 years ago. We are actually replacing it with another belief system that he sees as worse than Christianity, which is worse than Christianity, of course, and that is Islam. And he doesn't want that. And so he's hoping that we can kind of keep some semblance of Christianity, because he sees now its benefits, especially in comparison to a religion like Islam, without actually believing in Christianity. And I have never heard something so completely irrational or illogical in my life. Jordan Peterson responded with what I think is a great rhetorical question. What happens to a plant when you remove it from its roots? It dies. And of course, that is true. You will not convince people to retain the virtues, the morality, the goodness, the developments of Christianity if they do not believe in the authority of Christianity, which is God, which is his word. You cannot spend your career telling people Christianity is stupid and dangerous and warn them against it and try to invalidate the Bible and then say, but we need to apply it. So we shouldn't believe in the Bible, but we should apply the Bible. So you believe that Christianity is useful and practical, but it is not true. And I would just encourage you, good sir, to dig into that a little bit more. Why do you think Christianity is useful and fruitful and practical? Like, why do you think it has done such a revolutionary job since its inception of producing human progress? Like, I know that you say that it goes against human progress and goes against scientific progress, but that's actually ahistorical nonsense. Like, if we look at the introduction of the gospel and the introduction of the Christian church in the pagan world, as we've talked about many times, what we see is the revolutionizing of the view of science, of the view of medicine, of the view of human beings, the view of the poor. Christianity created these amazing institutions that led to human flourishing and human health and well-being, like hospitals, like orphanages, like homeless shelters, like all kinds of nonprofit organizations, charitable organizations that demanded each society view the truly marginalized as people. That's why it was Christians that led the charge for the abolition of slavery. That's why you have incredible stories of anti-Nazi Christian heroes like Corrie ten Boom and Bonhoeffer trying to protect the Jews and protect the victims of the Holocaust. Christians have always been on the front lines of human progress, not with coercion, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, leading by examples set in love and set in grace and set in generosity. That is part of what makes Christianity so different than any other belief system, is not just that it is true, that it's based on the fact that God made flesh, came and died and rose again, as we just celebrated over Easter weekend, but that it has made more positive change than any other belief system in the world, and it's not even close. And as we've said many times, once the belief in Christianity goes, so all of its benefits will go with it. Of course, that's just true. Can't tell people that Christianity is dangerous, but that love, charity, grace, mercy, the dignity of the human being, generosity, that all of these things must remain. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Not on a large scale. And so I'm sorry, Richard Dawkins, but you have brought this upon Britain. You have helped bring this upon the world. If you are now so worried about the Islamification of Europe or the Islamification of the West, or the West losing our identity as a Christian civilization that cares about Christmas, that sings Christmas carols, that is joyful, that cares about peace and love and charity and goodness and morality and marriage and monogamy and all of these things that have been just so important for human progress and civilization, then you have yourself at least in part to blame for that. Because what you've realize is that people will just exchange one belief system for another. And so if you are sad about how Christianity has been weakened in the Western world, especially in your beloved Britain, who basically is turning into Londonistan now, then you can take credit for that. You can pat yourself on the back for that. You should take responsibility because of your lectures and your debates and your work. You should take responsibility for much of the world losing the faith that you only now are seeing as practical and good. And just like with Corbin Albert, there is grace for you. We have all made mistakes. We have all said things that are not true. For all of us, there was a time that we didn't believe. There are a few testimonies I can think of. For example, Saul turning to Paul, of people who were crusaders against the Christian faith, who Jesus changed and then used as missionaries, used as evangelists for the only true religion that exists today. And that can be you. And I pray that that is true. I pray that God would humble you greatly, that you would look around and see the destruction that your ideology and your form of apologetics has helped bring upon the world, and that you would just see that you've been battling against the truth for so long. And the church will welcome you with open arms, and we will be very, very thankful for your repentance. But I do believe that God can save Richard Dawkins. And maybe it is the waning influence of cultural Christianity that will do that. And we should all mourn, by the way, for the waning of cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity can't save. It's not salvific. So if someone just believes in like Christian values loosely because they think, like Richard Dawkins does, that they're practical and useful, but they don't actually believe in Jesus Christ, then of course they are not saved. There are many people who will say, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." They don't really believe in their hearts. They just see it as kind of helpful and useful. So that's not salvific, but there are still benefits to cultural Christianity. And as the influence of Christianity has waned, has decreased, we, of course, have seen the celebration and the elevation of all kinds of absolute degeneracy and depravity that is hurting not just society in general, but specifically children. And children are always going to be the first to be sacrificed, as we have said many times. But of course, the complete demolition of the family, the acceptance and celebration of all kinds of sexual immorality, the subversion of justice, the exchange of actual justice for things like social justice, the increase in lawlessness, all of these things are the effect, the consequence of the loss of the influence of Christianity. Christianity brings civilization. Christianity brings order. Christianity brings goodness when its principles are made manifest in a society, in a community, they flourish. There's good fruit that then is produced there. When it goes away, rotten fruit. And we will see that. And unfortunately, we will pay the price for that. The one good thing I will say that comes out of that is that it becomes less popular, less convenient to be a Christian, and only the real ones exist. So as Christianity is pushed to the margins, you've got people who are forced to really count the cost of their faith and decide whether or not they really believe it. And if you really believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, then you will remain a Christian and remain in the faith by God's power, despite how uncomfortable and inconvenient it is. That's what happens when it becomes less cool and less convenient and less comfortable to be a Christian. And I think the church can shine even more brightly in that darkness. And so there's good even in this, even as we will and our children will suffer the consequences of a lack of influence of Christianity. It also means that the church will shine even more brightly, I think. And I think that's true throughout history. This respite that we've had in America for freedom of religion and really Christian dominance, that's coming to an end, I do think. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And the only thing that we can do is the next right thing in faith with excellence and for the glory of God, and continue to share the gospel as much as we can. Like, I can just tell you in my own life, I've had more opportunities just in the past few years and in the past few months even to share the gospel with curious people, not even just on here, just like in my personal life, than I ever have before. People are really hungry. They really want to know, like, can you make sense of all of this? Can you tell me that something good is going to happen? Can you tell me that there's a greater purpose? Can you tell me that there is someone who loves me? Can you tell me that there's a reason why I'm here? Can you help give me some kind of peace or comfort as my life is falling apart? And it's so easy just to buy someone a Bible and to tell them about God's plan of redemption. And a lot of people are hungry for that right now, including Richard Dawkins. All right. A couple more quick things to talk about. Let me tell you about our next sponsor for the day, and that is Good Ranchers. All right, they've got another great deal going on for you right now in honor of March Madness. We'll call it March Meatness, if you will. $150 value of free chicken wings with any subscription. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll get that box of meat to your front door every month. You can pick out the different cuts of meat that you want, the chicken, the beef, all high quality, all American from American farms and ranches. Plus, with that subscription, you will get $150 value of free chicken wings, which is just amazing. So chicken wings for a year. That is awesome. If you go to goodranchers.com, use code Allie at checkout. You'll get $20 off with my code. That's goodranchers.com, code Allie. All right, for our last segment of the day, we actually had like a whole other subject to talk about, but we just don't have time. It's about moms and weed. And that's like, believe it or not, that's a whole big subject that we will have to save for a later episode when we have more time, because apparently this is a phenomenon, like moms getting high. So forget the wine moms. We're moving on to weed moms now. But anyway, that is not what we're going to talk about. Instead, we're going to talk about this story that I saw on Twitter the other day. Here is the headline. Are you ready for it? Like, this just combines so many things that we talk about. British Museum claims some birds, dinosaurs, may have been queer in new exhibit. Now, this might have been the thing that sent Richard Dawkins over the edge. Like, he might have seen this and been like, okay, no, we gotta find God. This is just too far. So dinosaurs may have been queer in new exhibit. Well, that explains extinction.
Mm-hmm.
That would be why they did not make it. Okay, let's see what this says. So, okay, this is taxidermied pheasant. Okay, so this is in the British Museum. Okay. Despite queer behavior in the animal kingdom being observed as far back as the 18th century. Okay. It is often ignored or hidden from the public. One example is a female pheasants changing their sex when they stop laying eggs and turn their brown feathers into brightly colored feathering typical of males. Okay. If by queer you mean weird, Like, is this a loss in translation here? Because the British, do they say, oh, that's quite queer. Is that what they're talking about?
They do mean that when they say that. But no, I'm pretty sure they mean trans birds.
Trans birds.
Birds are trans.
Okay. Okay. But, okay. A pheasant's feature in some of the earliest European studies of queer behavior in animals. In 1780, naturalist John Hunter shared his observations of sex-changing pheasants, an account of an extraordinary pheasant. With queerness visible in the natural world, the argument that it is somehow unnatural begins to unravel. But it doesn't, because you're not a bird. You're not a bird. You can't change your feathers, and you can't change your body when you stop laying eggs. You have to pay someone to mutilate your body to look different. That is the definition of unnatural. Like, you can't just all of a sudden look like the opposite sex. It just doesn't happen. You have to do all kinds of artificial, unnatural things to your body to even slightly look like the opposite sex. You're not a bird. You're not a bird. Okay? So here's what the article says. A museum in the United Kingdom is facing mockery after claiming that some dinosaurs may have been queer. In its latest exhibition celebrating LGBT history, a pamphlet handed out to guests speculates on the sexuality of dinosaurs. Okay. The LGBTQI plus history exhibit was founded in 2021. Blah, 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 blah. Included among the stories is one about a cast fossil of an herbivore's footprint. Although the excerpt notes it cannot conclusively say that the dinosaur that made the fossil was homosexual. It is a nod to LGBT history because Christopher Winter, the boy who found it, is now grown up, happily married to his husband, Greg. And living in a pink house in Hastings. What does that have to do with the dinosaur that he found, which was probably just like a dog?
Yeah. Well, he was gay, so it's part of gay history.
Okay. Explaining how Winter first came across the fossil with his father at the age of 11, the description of the fossil notes that queer history takes many forms. In this case, it takes up an important part of the fossil's provenance. The museum's speculations about an instinct creature sexuality was met with ridicule online. Yes, of course, as it should. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Sorry, not saying blah, blah, blah to this article. It's just all so ridiculous. I can't read all of it. Despite queer behavior in the animal kingdom. Okay, we've already read that. Let's see. Dr. Emma Hilton, a biologist and board of director of the gender critical campaign group Sex Matters, decried its statements about pheasants as nonsense. The only vertebrates that change sex are all fish. Birds do not change sex. Often in the process of aging, female animals can produce male features as a result of hormonal changes. We can also see this in humans following the menopause, but we would not say that older women had changed sex if they had a bit of a mustache. These kinds of claims can be very wearying. So even the description that they have of pheasants, she is saying, is not even accurate. In addition to the exhibit highlighting several other gay historical figures, the pamphlet also asserts under its description of a samurai suit of armor that 18th century colonialism is to blame for the destruction of many ancient gender systems in countries around the world. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Uh-huh. I don't know, Brie. You got anything else to say about the gay dinosaurs?
I'm just glad that England is informing people of this.
Me too.
In the British Museum.
I'm surprised that it's England. I'm surprised it wasn't France or Germany or Canada. I don't know. A lot of queer things seem to happen in those places.
That's true. Seem to stem from those places.
Or in the United States.
England is joining them.
Yeah, you know, I still get a lot of angry comments about our theories about dinosaurs, but honestly, it seems like every week someone sends me another post, another discovery or development that dinosaurs didn't actually look how we have been told that they look. And it's like, oh yeah, this fossil that we thought looked like this pterodactyl is actually just a chicken. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, if they can say from a footprint that this dinosaur was a homo, I just like, okay, tell me the scientific method that is being employed to deduce the scales that they had, the voice that they had, like the sounds that they were making and all of that stuff. okay, I've always said it's just a bunch of nerds coming together and making up weird things. And now I realize it's a bunch of gay nerds.
It's a bunch of gay nerds.
They're adding that.
Yeah. Onto British it. Gay nerds.
Wow. Yeah. It's all fraudulent. Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's a good time. That's a good time. Well, thank you so much, Britton, for that bit of information. And on that note, let me tell you about our last sponsor for the day. And that is Jace Medical. All right. You've probably not thought about this when you're thinking about preparing for the unknown in the future, that you don't just need a food supply just in case something should happen, things really hit the fan. You also need an emergency stash of medical supplies, including prescriptions that you and your family rely on a daily basis, as well as some common antibiotics. And if for whatever reason you can't get to your doctor, you can't get through to the pharmacy, but someone in your house has an infection or you run out of your prescription medication, it's so much better to be prepared to be safe rather than sorry and just have that year-long supply of prescriptions that you may need. I mean, this can be life-saving if you think about all the scenarios in which you might need this. Go to jacemedical.com, use code Allie at checkout for a discount on your order. That's jacemedical.com, code Allie for a discount. jacemedical.com, code Allie. All right. That's all we've got time for today. Let's see, Brie, do we have like any announcements or anything?
Yes, just to submit your questions.
Submit your questions, relatablewithabs@gmail.com.
Yep.
So parenting, relationship questions you can submit. I will be answering these. Maybe the Chief Relatabro and I might be answering these as well. We've also still got a lot of cute merch out there. AllieMerch.com. You're not enough, but Jesus is. T-shirts, crew necks. And we've got some cute stuff coming out for Mother's Day too, which I'm excited about. All right, before we go, I do want to tell y'all that my colleague, Blaze TV, Jason Whitlock, they've got their second event happening in Nashville, Tennessee. This is called the Fearless Roll Call, and this is for men who want to find godly community, but also godly encouragement to be present fathers, to be strong men and leaders in their community. They've got Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. He's just been such a strong warrior for truth. They also have Glenn Beck and John Rich will be performing. There's going to be great music, food, fellowship. And so make sure you check it out. FearlessArmyRollCall.com. This is on June 1st. It's going to be amazing. It was a hit last year. FearlessArmyRollCall.com. All right. Well, that closes us out for today. We will be back here tomorrow.